Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to today's teaching from The Grove at Champion Forest. We pray this message helps you grow in your love for God and His Word.
But tonight we're going to spend just a brief few moments looking at Scripture in Mark 12. It's verses 28 through 34. I invite you to grab your Bible. But please stay where you are if you just need to stay where you are. For those that are with me, we're in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the grace in this room right now for you to be with us, God. Thank you for the way you light our heart in truth. Thank you that you take us back to the simple things. You remind us of our identity. Thank you that you're sufficient. Thank you for drawing near to us. We love you. We love you. I don't know about you, but I'm in the camp of always wanting to do something for God. And that doesn't always mean do a great thing. That doesn't always mean impress Him. That doesn't always mean accomplish things. But I have a bend in my heart to perform for the Lord, to upkeep, to maintain, to show Him that at some point in some way I'm worth loving, that my heart wants to do for Him. And I have such a hard time just sitting still and being loved by Him and just letting Him say that I'm a son so I can be His son. I hear it in some of the way you sing and the way you speak and the way you look right now and just the general sense of the room and what God's doing. And awareness is a gift of God's grace. And we're prone to do and earn and merit our way to God. Maybe you know Christ and you're a follower of Jesus. Maybe you have no idea what's happening. You've never heard of Jesus Christ. You don't know the gospel. You know the church, but you don't know Him. Maybe there's a higher power in your life you have a belief in, and if you do, you're so welcomed to belong here and be here. And if, for you, if you don't have a name for your God or a belief in, you do have a propensity to try to get closer to God, to earn, to manage your image, to at least look like you do. For me, I've let way too much of my life be what I do. My calling, my job, and it's just not. It's what we're about to see right now. It's just not the case. I'm going to read this scripture, and then we're going to walk through it for just a few moments before we jump back into song. The scripture says this: one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he, being Jesus, answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" And Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength.' And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." In Matthew's gospel, it says in verse 40, chapter 22, all of the law and prophets depend on these two things. Verse 32, the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other beside him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. We've been looking in the Gospel of Mark through these interactions these last few weeks where a religious leader asks a question hoping to trap Jesus, and he responds with truth. And here, this scribe, this trained lawyer of the law, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, comes up and goes, "Jesus, which commandment is the most important?" Now, in this time, there are 613 laws that they had pulled from these five books. Now, 248 of those laws were positives. They were do this, do that. 365 were negative. Don't do this. Stop doing this. 59% of the law in their minds was negative. God's a rule setter. Don't. Quit. Stop. No more. And I think a lot of you in this room right now have that view of God. Stop. No more. Quit. Don't do it. And you hear this angry, controlling, distant God who just wants you to keep every word, follow the law, be perfect, manage your image, do enough, give enough. And when you don't because you can't and you feel shame, you withdraw. And for so many of you, the Christian life is heavy and lacking joy because you can't keep the law, but you think that God stops loving you if you fail the law. And you've tried it out and it just doesn't work. And you don't feel loved by God and you're stuck in shame and guilt and you're living in a prison at a church, serving maybe, singing, teaching, sharing the gospel, going on mission trips, and you're stuck in this, I don't really know if it's true, because you are so focused on the do nots. Because you keep doing them, you think God loves you less, and you think you're a fraud right now, and you think there's no way out, and you think it's all about the commandments and keeping them. And obedience matters. Obedience is love. But listen to what Jesus says, knowing the motive behind this question. He says, there's 613 you're trying to keep, but let me tell you the one that's most important. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Look at what Jesus said. I don't have any notes for you. I just want you to hear. He starts off with what the Jews would recite twice a day, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He begins by going, there is one God. Any other God is an idol. It's made by human hands and it is false. Go read Psalm 115. Everyone who worships idols will become like them. You can call out to these false gods. They have no mouth, they can't speak. They have no eyes, they can't see. They have no ears, they can't hear you. They have no hands, they cannot save you. It begins with identifying there is one God, the God of the Word, Yahweh, in three distinct persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's one God here. There's one God. What does this one true God want from you? This is Jesus, God in the flesh. Man, he could have gone through the Ten Commandments, taught him like no one else could. But he doesn't. He goes, this God of love wants you just to love him, Grove, tonight. What does God want from you? To love him with all of your being. But I'm not good enough. Love him with all of your being. But I keep stumbling. Love him with all of your being. But I'm not as good as that person. Love him with all your heart and your being. But I don't know all of the Bible. Love him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Do not mistake religious activity as love. Don't mistake spirituality as love. The Lord is looking right now with eyes of fire, and that doesn't have to scare us in the negative sense. But he's looking with eyes of fire at your heart going, I want your love, and I'll work everything out from there. Listen, you can obey God's word. You can read it in the morning. You can read it at night. You can pray. You can sing without loving him. But you cannot love him and then not obey him. Obedience follows love. And so many of you are dying as a Christian because you've put obedience in front of love. Man, if I can just have a good enough streak, if I cannot watch porn for a week, then I'll feel better morally, so that means I'll love him more. No, no, no. If you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, obedience will follow. I don't know what God wants me to do with my life. Love him. But in a year, I got to make all these plans and go. Love him. But I don't know how I'm going to make money to have the life. Love him. You could do. Look at the scribe. He says, teacher, you're right. To love the Lord with everything you have, your entire being, and to love your neighbor. That word neighbor doesn't mean who you live next to. It's who you're next to. You are all my neighbors right now, and I love you. You are a neighbor to everyone around you right now. Love them. He's saying, man, do that. That's more important to God than you living perfectly to the law, but having no love in your heart. One deed done in love for Christ in his name is better than a lifetime of good religious service. Now, does that mean I should not go to church and do what God's written? No, that's not what I'm saying. But if your motive is not love, it's wrong. It won't last. You're playing with wood, hay, and straw. It'll be burned up. Why? Because love is it. God is love, 1 John. Whoever loves has been born of God. You're wrestling with your salvation. Do you love God and people? Love is the litmus test. True Christianity is love, not knowledge. 1 Corinthians 8, you can know everything you want in the Bible and just be puffed up. You can correct everyone, biblically true, but have no love. It's meaningless. We have these high goals and lofty expectations. Our flesh and our sin, our desires come into Christianity. And we want to do and we want to accomplish and we want to grow and we want to climb. But we just need to love. I want to start hearing about young adults. I want to start hearing about churches. I want to hear about gatherings that aren't known for great teaching and worship. I want to hear about people that are known for love. Do you know what that would do to a broken, sinful, lost world? It would fill rooms. We are attracted to love. Knowledge is not enough. It has to be love. What would it look like if Tuesday nights were known for a loving place? Man, I just felt welcomed. I don't remember who spoke. I don't remember what they taught. I didn't even understand it. I didn't know a single song, but I came home and knew I was loved. See, when I was so dead in sin. I was broken in my sin, numb, blind, pornography, masturbation, sleeping around, weed, cocaine, acid, shrooms, alcohol, not just having a drink, like blacking out. That was my life for 7 years. Some of you feel weird because I said it with a mic at a Bible study. Move on. Sin is sin. You may have never done any of that, but you gossip. Sin is sin. You may look clean on the outside, but the inside, sin is sin. I can get up here and tell you who I used to be because I've been changed by Jesus. Don't bother me anymore. I enjoy it, telling you who I was. It blesses me because I'm not him anymore because I've been changed by a loving God. And I'm in this process of learning what it means to not perform for him. I'm in this process of learning your approval in my life doesn't matter. Because I'm in this process of learning what God Almighty says about me is final and it's enough. We could grow things, healthy things, Christian things. We could go all over the world and do good things, but if we don't know more of his love, it won't move your heart. I don't want any more regular gatherings and Tuesday nights and Sunday mornings. I want supernatural, miraculous coming togethers. I want you to love one another because when you do, God's love is perfected in you. That's miraculous. So many young adults, college students, this generation, like we're infatuated with stimulation. We're infatuated with these miracles and seeing these crazy things happen in the supernatural. Like we are intrigued by it, are we not? Man, let's move past the gospel and talk about the Holy Spirit, the gifts, tongues. Let's talk about that. We want to know these spiritual things, but we're not loving people. We're not in love with Jesus where we could go, if I don't learn anything else about the gifts, the tongues, the heavenly languages, whatever these things are, man, then I'm okay because I know more of my God. I want to be like the disciple John who at the end of his life could say, I'm his beloved. You go, well, that's arrogant and prideful. No, it's not. It's the truth. If I need to grow in one thing, it's my knowledge of his love for me. That's what you need to grow in. Philippians 1, Paul, this giant of the faith, prays for this church full of poor people, far away from Jerusalem, where all of the learners were. And he goes, man, I'm praying that your love would abound more and more. I pray that you would love more like Christ, that he would give you knowledge and discernment so you could spend your life approving what is pure and excellent so that the fruit of Christ through you would increase to God's glory. I'm praying, Grove, that your love would increase. For your parents who don't know Christ, for your friends, for your coworker who don't know the Lord Jesus, for the people in your life who do know Jesus. Sometimes we're the ugliest to Christians. That should break you. We are family. We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lord Jesus for eternity. I don't want to spend my life in petty arguments with you because I was bothered. Because I chose preference over humility. Love is the more excellent way. We want to talk about walking in the Spirit and having words of knowledge and using these gifts and prophecy. Okay, that's awesome, but look at 1 Corinthians 12. It lists out the spiritual gifts and the body and the use of them, but then it finishes with this in verse 31, but I will show you a more excellent way. And chapter 13 is all about love. I could speak in the tongues of angels right now, but if I have not love, I'm just a noisy gong. I'm just a making sound. It has no purpose. I could prophesy the mysteries of God to you right now, but if I have not love, it's vain. Amen. I don't want you to pursue a really good-looking Christian life and not realize God loves you. And that everything is okay in God's love. See, the love of God defends you against rivals, competitors of your heart, false identities. The love of God will cement in you the truth. You're worried, you're anxious, you're stressed out, you're backsliding into sin, you're hanging out with the wrong people. I know why. You don't know how much God loves you. That is the remedy. Does that sound simple? The gospel is simple. God so loved you, he gave his only son to die for you, to give you eternal life. And he gives you his Spirit to walk in that eternal life, that truth. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they know you. Heaven starts now. Jesus comes to earth, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He fills us with his Spirit, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Your eternal walk with God began at salvation. And it's just growing in the knowledge of that love for you. And when you fall into worldly temptation, desires of the flesh, doing enough, getting enough, making money, being rich, marrying well, whatever it is, the warning sign is, do I know how much God loves me? Am I content in his love? Let's do a humble response right now. How many of you have a hard life? Come on, show your hands. Life is difficult. It's hard. Yes, Scripture says that. Psalm 90, all of our days are toil and trouble. And we think the commands can fix the toil and trouble, and they will after we are in love with Jesus. I hope that makes sense to you tonight. We'll look at a scripture in just one moment before I close. But Psalm 90, verse 14 says, satisfy me in the morning with your steadfast love so that all of my days can be glad, rejoicing. God can take your toil and troubling days and turn them into glad rejoicing. How? In the satisfaction of his love. But I don't know if I love God with everything in me. You won't do it perfectly, but it should be progressive. Next month, you should love God more than you do right now. Next year, you should love God more than you do right now. How do we do that? By knowing his love for us more. It's coming back to the basics of our faith, the cross of Jesus, the love of God put on display. Jesus said, all of the law and the prophets, 39 books of the Bible depend on these two things, loving God with every ounce of your being and then loving people out of that love for God. That's a big time statement. So what does that mean for the rest of what Jesus wrote? Listen to me here and then we'll pray. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, longest discourse of Jesus. He says in verse 17, do not think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. God's law, God's commands, God's standards are not going anywhere. Christianity, life in Christ, is not a free pass to just live on and enjoy. We are called to obedience. He says, I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it's all accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus finishes this conversation, looks at him and says, you are near. You are not far away from the kingdom of heaven. Christ is the kingdom of heaven. I want to know God. I want to spend heaven. I want to spend eternity in heaven with God. I want to be redeemed and forgiven. It's Christ. It's only Christ. There's no other way. There's no other truth. It is Christ. And then when we come to him and we realize we're loved, we will want to obey him. God does this radical miracle in our life where you want to begin following Jesus. But you do not obey your way into his love. You are loved into obedience. Your life will look different, not by how much you know, but by how you love. John 13, last thing I'll say, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. And he's telling them, he's having this discourse before he goes to the cross. And he tells them this, after he washes their feet, he says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Grove, here's the last thing I want you to hear. God in heaven loves you right where you are. And if you'll sit in the love of God, your life will be changed. Amen? I'm going to pray. We have an open room in the back. Our prayer team, our leaders, are going to stand up and they're going to head to the back right now. And getting right with God is the most important thing for you to do. You don't need to sing a song. Listen to a word before you go to the back and talk to someone. Maybe you just need to be prayed over. I'm struggling to love God with my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Or there's a person in my life that I'm having a hard time love. Just go ask for prayer. We're going to continue in worship through song. All of this is worship. But I'm going to pray, and if you need anything from our team, they're right there in the back. Don't miss that moment to go get right before the Lord. Maybe that's you starting a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you need to get baptized like 16 people we saw last week. Maybe you need to come to the church. Maybe you need to start reading your Bible. Maybe you do need to walk with someone through, what does this mean? Just a friend to come alongside you to remind you that you're not alone, that you are loved. We can't do it alone. We're not called to. But he is sufficient. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. Lord Jesus, you amaze me. 613 commands you could have picked from. 365 in the negative, do not do this, stop doing this, no more of that. 240-something in the positive, do this. You could have told them those, but you went to the heart of the gospel, the heart of the scriptures. Love the Lord your God. He is one. Love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love people. And you came that we would know we're loved. And you bring assurance of our love. And you were the only way that love is not about our performance or our upkeep. And God, I confess in front of you in the room, and I know there's other people too, I am prone to try to do and obey my way to get more of your love. And it doesn't work that way. Thank you that it doesn't work that way. That our life is not this impossible walk up the mountain to hope that you know us or approve of us, but that you came down the mountain in Christ, that you loved us enough to come to us, to speak to us in a language we understand, to live a perfect, blameless life for us in Christ, to die on a real cross, the death of a criminal, the perfect Son of God, spotless, without sin, became that sin so that we could become sons and daughters. And you rose him from the grave, defeating hell, defeating sin, and defeating death. And you've promised everlasting life to all who call on your name for forgiveness. God, I pray that we'd call on it tonight. And that we would walk in the freedom of just being loved by you and loving you and just going, I don't know what else is going to happen in my life, but what I do know is I love God. And that we would leave this room tonight in the freedom, but in the joy of loving people for your glory. And that we would just go tell people, there's a God who loves you. Do you know that? God, please light a fire in our heart. Fill us with your love that we could love you in return. You are worthy of all of our love. Thank you that our failures never turn you away, but your grace is present with us. So, Father, as we continue in worship now through song, please be pleased with our heart posture. And I pray over everyone in this room who needs to go to the back and respond that you would give them strength and courage and boldness. And I know you will put them with the right leader to have the right conversation. God, we want to honor you in this time of response and as we continue singing and worship because you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's teaching from The Grove. Be sure and follow us on Instagram at @thegrove_CF. If you're a young adult in Northwest Houston, we'd love to connect with you on Tuesday nights and Sunday mornings. We hope to see you soon.